The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Calgary Flames. That game is at 6 o'clock tonight, 5:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Of course, some of the news that's come out of San Jose Sharks land. In the last little bit here, we are watching that Askarov will get the start today as Alex Nedeljkovic from Curtis Pešelka has been granted non-roster status by the Sharks to attend to a personal matter. So that's something that we're paying attention to. Dustin Wolf is going to get the start tonight for the Flames. And Jacob Skerrick has been recalled from the Barracuda. So obviously those are some of the roster moves that we know right now going on with San Jose. But I've got a great interview for you today. I spoke with Anthony Loduca, the man behind Hockey Psychology. He's got a new video up about Macklin Celebrini on his YouTube page, and he joins us now. Anthony, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
No, man, I've been trying to make this happen, and it's been my own fault that we haven't done it sooner. So I'm very, very pleased that you're making some time for me. And we get to talk, I think, the first time since the spring of 2019 about a fun Sharks team, because since that last West Conference final run, it's not been great for the Sharks. They've had some minor, you know, fun times, but right now, since an 0-4-2 start, they have won 8 games. They've only lost 2 games in that stretch, and they have 1 shootout loss to Detroit. It's pretty wild. So I know that you're on the Eastern time zone, and we'll get to your video about Macklin Celebrini in a second here, but I just want to ask you, like, how are the Sharks landing in your world? Is there a lot of discussion about what's happening in San Jose and the stark turnaround they've had to the start of their season?
Yeah, I think, being from Toronto, I think there's probably, usually there's not a lot of chatter about what's going on out west, but I think with what's going on with Bedard and Celebrini and Leo Carlson and all these young guns coming up, I think there's definitely more chatter on where we are about the Sharks, Ducks, all those teams in general about with this new young wave coming up. So for the Sharks, I think, I don't know if it's necessarily sustainable just yet, but I think the biggest thing for them, especially in the last month or so, is the goaltending too. And I know we could probably talk about that as well, but Askarov has been really, really good. I think he's probably, looking at his numbers, probably the best goalie, I think, in November so far. So that's a really big component as to why the Sharks are really turning it on right now. Whether that'll last, we'll see. But it is very fun and exciting to watch because, like I said before, when we were talking just off air, I kind of grew up with the Sharks team with Couture, Marlowe, Thornton. So they were always good forever.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing was that, you know, they went so far, they went to that cup final and then obviously lost to the Penguins. So it's really fun to see them get back in the mix here, and especially with guys like Celebrini and Smith and all that.
No, it is fun. And, you know, you bring up the Pens, and of course, that's the man who many people are making the comparison to with Macklin Celebrini is Sidney Crosby. And it just kind of speaks to a wider point that we're seeing around the NHL right now, where we have 3 generations really well represented, because Sid is still Sid. He's still playing at a very high level. You know, early to this season, he's had his name towards the top of the goal scoring list. You've got Ovi doing historic things. And then in the middle, you've got Connor McDavid. He's come on strong. He had that spinning backhand goal the other day that was about as sick as anything that I have seen. And then, like you alluded to, we have these young players, the Carlson, the Celebrini, the Bedard, the Hutson, Schaefer now, he's making a splash in his rookie season. And obviously that list can go on. But this is a really interesting moment for the NHL where they have 3 generations represented, all of whom are playing at a very high level. And it seems like there's more eyeballs than there ever have been before. Now, you're in Toronto, so I know it's a little bit different. But when I see social media's algorithms putting more and more stuff in the feeds of people I know that aren't hardcore hockey fans, I know that it's breaking through. And then here in the States, the deal with TNT has seemingly had an effect. You put Wayne Gretzky on a show, people are going to tune in. Do you think it's interesting to watch just kind of all the models that the NHL have put out kind of work right now, to where it feels like they're capturing, you know, established audiences along with these new audiences?
Absolutely. I think I can even tell with when I put out a video too, like you can tell where the traction is and where it may lie. Mm-hmm. And I think with the Sharks right now, there's just so much buzz around all the young talent. So anytime there's a Celebrini or a Bedard debate, or anytime I even tweet something out or something like that, there's a lot of engagement, right? And I think an interesting thing about, you know, all these young players coming in is that they're having such a big impact right away. And there's that discussion too, as to, and maybe we can get into it, or maybe we don't have time, but you know, whether these players are truly generational, right? And what is a generational player? And I think, you know, with Celebrini and Bedard, it's probably a little bit too early to deem one of them generational or both of them generational. Yeah. But I think it's a very interesting conversation to have, because you still look at their, you know, one's 19, one's 20, they're at the top of the scoring. So like what isn't generational at that point? Obviously you've got more sustained success, which would lead to that conversation. But it's just fascinating to see that, and that engages a lot of people, which is definitely evident with how anything we post with Celebrini or Bedard gets a ton of traction.
So last year you posted a video on Macklin Celebrini, and you coined a phrase that I think is one of the best in the hockey world that I have seen, where you said Macklin Celebrini is such a heads up player that he doesn't know what the puck looks like. And you paraphrased it again in your latest video on Macklin Celebrini. So let's just start there in terms of his heads up play, because as soon as you pointed that out, I started watching it. And you're right, he literally never looks at the puck. He is constant head on a swivel, looking around everywhere. And I guess looking back at the start of last year, when did you start to think, okay, Macklin Celebrini might be more than what he was initially said to be, which was not as good as Bedard? That was kind of the argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, I don't think if it's any one game or one particular moment. I think the most telling thing is kind of how he checks. And I know that's kind of different than what we're talking about with, you know, having his head up and eyes up, but I think that's probably why he's getting a lot of consideration too with the Canadian Olympic team. And it's because, I mean, coming out and being an 18-year-old player, he's already checking incredibly well on both sides of the puck. And, mm-hmm. and having, you know, when he has possession of the puck is one thing we talk about in the video too. He's more of a quick strike type of playmaker where, you know, he obviously has possession a lot because he's a very talented player. He's at the core of the Sharks offense. But really, if you watch him kind of make plays and create in the O-zone, what I mean by quick strike is the puck doesn't really stick to his stick, in the fact that he doesn't hold on to it for long periods of time. Like he's already got a set play ready to go, or he knows where he wants to go with the puck before it even arrives to him. I think Mike Kelly had some really good stats about his O-zone, his slot passing. I think he's ranked third in the NHL amongst forwards in slot passing. It comes with having your head up and obviously being aware of all the things that, you know, and all the threats that are around you. But it's very interesting to see even the difference between him and I again, bringing up Bedard, where one of them is more possession oriented, whereas mm-hmm. Celebrini, you know, he's more quick strike in that playmaking. And I allude to this in the video too. It does remind me a lot of how Crosby has generated offense for a lot of these years too.
Not just the one, but of many points you made, you talked about how last year, how strong Celebrini was in the transition game and how there has been an adjustment. That's the biggest question mark for these young upstarts. What's the year two adjustment like? They're taking away more of his freedom through the neutral zone with speed. They're double teaming him, and you're seeing, like you alluded to, them kind of working the puck along the boards, finding a man for him to dump off to and then regather so he can keep some of that momentum going. If you could talk about that, and then also what you pointed out about Celebrini attacking with an angle consistently.
Yeah, so the first thing is a big credit to Smith and Toffoli, his wingers, who are doing a really good job this year at getting off the wall and getting the puck to him in space. And I think what more teams are doing, and I showed in the clip against Colorado, is they're they're planning for Celebrini to get the puck ahead of steam. So they're staying above his check. And there's a clip that we show where, you know, there's two Colorado players right in Celebrini's face before he even touched the puck. And they actually just mirror him all the way through the neutral zone. So he doesn't end up getting the puck. And, you know, we worked a lot with, his name's the virtual hockey scout too. So he found some of these clips as well. But you really see San Jose making a concentrated effort when they have the puck along the wall to use these little bump plays mm-hmm. to get Celebrini the puck while he's in space and has a full head of steam. And like I said, having guys like Smith and Toffoli who are really good at those little like depth area, little small area plays to get the puck off the wall is really important for Celebrini right now, because they know Celebrini is going to come up with a head of steam and he doesn't have to go through four or five guys anymore to do that. Or not that he can't do it, but they are game planning for it. Right. So they have to be prepared for that. And obviously come playoff time, if, you know, Sharks do make it there or when they do make it there, there's going to be a game plan for Celebrini. And as we know, in the neutral zone, things tighten right up during the playoffs. So it's cool to see how, you know, in already the Sharks are game planning for that and helping out Celebrini in that way.
No, it is interesting to watch. And then, it kind of leads me to wonder when we do see that next term of his career, whether that's in the playoffs this year or whether that's, you know, later down the line, like, what is the next level adjustment that you think Celebrini will have to make to remain as effective? Because we see this, you know, transition game has evolved this year to where the Sharks are doing things differently. But also, you know, he's already such, as you pointed out, it's not, the puck isn't staying with him long. It's, you know, it's bang, bang. It's in and out of his stick going to somebody else and he's setting things up. I mean, what's the next obstacle do you think the teams are going to try and use to slow him down?
Yeah, I don't know if it's any one thing, but I think when you get to that time and we're going to see it, hopefully, I would love to see the Sharks, you know, be in the playoff race, you know, come February, March and April. So if that's the case, I think we're going to see teams really clamp down on, you know, neutral zone structure and, you know, stopping Celebrini before he gets all that speed and gets going. But I think I'd like to see, you know, kind of how he competes in those really, really tight and big games. And maybe we even see that in the Olympics too, which is going to be very fun to watch. But I don't know if it's any one thing where they would game plan against them. And I think we're already seeing it with, you know, how teams are structuring their neutral zone against them. But I'm very curious to see how he goes up against a team like Florida. I know San Jose actually just beat Florida, but obviously Florida has, you know, a lot of injuries. They aren't at their full capacity, but seeing how he competes in those games, obviously the compete level is not going to be in question because Celebrini is a dog. We know that, but it's more so, you know, how does he get around, where teams are gapping up extremely well. They're taking away the red line, the blue line from, you know, they're pinching down the walls, taking away even the space for his line mates to make those depth plays. That's where I think the growth will come. And it only comes with experience too.
One of the things that you pointed out in the video, and I don't think I'm using the right term, but what it stuck in my head as was Celebrini's uniqueness of movement. And it's something that I see because I work in soccer as well, doing play-by-play in Major League Soccer. And I see players, sometimes they just move differently than everybody else and it throws off defenders. And there's been a couple times this year where Macklin Celebrini has kind of drifted from the top of the circle to the outside, seemingly baiting the defenders to drift back with him. But then as they're drifting, Celebrini then suddenly is making a mad dash to get into the slot and get into the right place at the right time. I was, you know, pleased that you pointed it out because I think it's an overlooked aspect of his game. But I do feel like in the last 2 weeks, everyone's starting to notice like, hey, this guy doesn't really do what everybody else out there does. He moves differently. He gets kind of defenders to be off balance. And then suddenly he's right there in the middle of the play, wide open, ready to make something happen.
Yeah, I like to compare it. I referenced this in the video too. I like to compare it to a QB and pocket presence. So knowing where the pressure lies and where the threats are, obviously, you know, as a quarterback, they're trying to kill you. So there's a little bit more of a different element to it, but it's the same thing in understanding where, you know, the threats may lie and where there's pockets of space that you can step into. And I think Celebrini already at 19 is, you know, one of the best at finding these little areas of space. There was a play against the Rangers. I think where he dips down right below the right post goal line and then dashes right above against through the hash marks up into that space and then just beats Shesterkin clean. And I think that's those types of plays. You really see how he's manipulating defenders and without the puck. And that's a very special skill that some of the best goal scorers have. I think Kucherov is one of the best at it as a winger. And Celebrini already at 19, he hasn't even, he's still a teenager. He already has that innate understanding of the game to get open and find those pockets of space.
So let's talk about the generational player debates, Celebrini versus Bedard. At this point, and I don't know if this is because I'm soft in my old age of 43 now, but I'm kind of like, why can't we just enjoy this both for a while? And until they meet in the playoffs, we don't really have to have this discussion. And I know that working in sports talk, that's not a viable point to make, but like, I am
no
of
fun.
the mind that I'm like, guys, this is incredibly fun to watch. And we have two great players. Maybe it's the next Sid Ovi situation. I don't know. I mean, that's, we're very early in their careers. But there's a part of me that's just like, well, maybe they are both generational talents in different ways. And like, Bedard had a snipe the other night, and he's doing that weird, his push-pull shot method, which you get so much body rotation on as well. I don't know if I've ever seen the puck come off anybody's stick like that short range. It is lethal. And then Macklin with his just unique skill set, it feels like it's a whole lot of fun. And like you said earlier, you have the juxtaposition of one guy who's more possession-oriented and the one guy that's more bang-bang-oriented.
Yeah, it's actually very interesting if you look at the advanced stats too, because they would almost make a perfect complement to each other and how they would play. I think there's a graphic again that Mike Kelly had where, they would complement each other perfectly if they're on the same line. I don't know if we would ever see that on the Olympic team having two thirds of that line be Celebrini and Bedard. It would be really cool to see, very entertaining. I don't imagine Team Canada would do that though. But yeah, definitely appreciating what it is. And, I would hope that these two players are generational. I want them badly to be generational talents. I just don't know if you can deem it that, because I would consider generational talents like, Crosby, Gretzky, Ovi. Are they there? I don't know if they are there yet, but you can't deny what they're doing right now. And I think you can kind of point to the fact that there needs to be more, like I said, sustained and prolonged success in order to kind of have that conversation. But it is so fun to watch right now.
It is interesting because you made the quarterback comparison. I think that when we talk about generational talents, Peyton Manning was better than Tom Brady as a quarterback, but Brady won more. And then if I think about the NBA, I think LeBron James is more talented than Steph Curry, but Steph Curry may have changed the game more by playing in a completely different way and expanding, what would we consider a reasonable shot and, changing everything about how we view three-pointers. I think that's where it gets a little bit muddy, because even Connor McDavid, like, I would say he's the LeBron James of the NBA. He's simply bigger, faster, stronger. But you can't just only have one type of player that you can win with. And that's where it's interesting to watch how a Connor Bedard, who is not as big or strong or as fast, how he's developed his game. Or the same thing with Macklin Celebrini. They're not all going to be the physical freaks. And so you've seen these different types of athletes in all sports kind of start to populate at a more higher level, whereas before it was traditionally just the biggest, strongest, fastest guy.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see. I think even when you look at a guy like Bedard too, and how everyone said coming in that he was, too small, or it amazes me, that argument, because we see countless times again that, like, the too small argument is, it could be relevant to certain players, sure, but for special talents like that, they usually find a way around it, right? We're seeing Bedard do it right now. So yeah, it like I said, it's super fun to watch both of these guys do what they do right now. And honestly, I would love to have like I said, in March, February, April, hopefully that they're both in the playoff race and they're competing against each other, because it would make for some really fun hockey.
Again, that is Anthony Loduca of Hockey Psychology joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. There is more to that interview. I will post it on the Sharks Audio Network, but you can also go check out his video on YouTube. Just search Hockey Psychology and you will see his video on Macklin Celebrini. We are all out of time. Again, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock go time as the Sharks take on the Flames. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Raney signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
Sharks are on the man advantage. They move through center ice, get across the blue line, head to the slot, Toffoli in front. Here's a play, Smith shoots, score! Toffoli to Celebrini to Smith, and Will Smith ties the game 1-1 with a tic-tac-toe goal that was a thing of beauty, and it was on the power play in the third.